Hi, good evening. Thanks for being here. We are gonna start with the session. I can see the line outside, that the reason I'm still waiting. But, well, that's not true. My name is Francisco Martinez. I'm part of the Communication Center of Excellence for Link at Microsoft. And it's supposed that Akshat is gonna, will come also. Of course, I'm not that guy. I'm Francisco. And we are gonna review the Link Online Hybrid deep dive session. And let's see what we are gonna talk about on the agenda. I'm gonna explain first what's Link Hybrid. Of course, we are gonna identify what is Link on-prem, what is Link Online, and what is the scenario where we can configure Link Hybrid. So we have to define that scenario and where and when we require to configure that scenario for your customers also. And then we are gonna go into the deployment overview, how to get there, how to configure a hybrid scenario, a Link Hybrid scenario, what you have to do, what you have to prepare before you can get there and have this scenario. Then we are going to do a review also on the requirements for deploying Link Online Hybrid. What do you need? And some cases, some steps already has done by another project probably on that customers. I'm talking about Exchange online project. So you probably already have some components that also we are going to use for Link Hybrid scenario. And then how to get that configuration, how to configure that from the Link perspective, what we have to do in order to set up this scenario. And then at the end, we are going just to check another scenario, which is an overview, a scenario which is very common, which is the multi-forest. What happens if your customer has more than one forest in his environment? That happens. Usually, probably you will see that your customer only has one forest, probably many domains, two or three more domains, but just one forest. But also we can find some customers that also have many forests, and we are going to do a little review on an overview of this scenario, because well, that scenario is we can have or we can build another session just on this multi-forest scenario. Okay, that's the agenda. So the first thing that we are going to do is we are going to define what does Link Hybrid means, what do we have. What services do we have in this at this scenario? What we can do with this scenario, and what we are going to get at the end also, which kind of functionalities or which kind of stuff we can do by setting up this configuration at your customers. And then probably you already know Link on-prem. This is the most typical. Well, this is one of the way we can deploy. We will deploy Link. Customers wants to deploy Link. We start probably with one Link Edge standard server, or the enterprise ones. You set up a pool, you set up your Edge server, you set up your mediation if you want to go connect and to have a connection to the PSTN. You can set up your Office Web Access, Office Web Application server, sorry. And all those roles inside what is on-prem configuration for Link. So this is one of the scenarios or one that your customer are going to ask to you to achieve or to do. This is the more common. And then we have also the cloud. When I'm talking about the cloud, I'm talking about the Office 365. You have customers that doesn't want to deploy Link servers on their data center. So they want to go for the cloud services that we have. And then probably they will have services like Exchange Online already. But also they are going to activate some Link Online accounts. So everything is going to be on Office 365. And also they can have a SharePoint apps running on Office 365. And that means that your customer doesn't need a server on-premise. They don't have to install anything. They only have to go to the console, admin center, and then do create accounts, modify accounts, assign license to these users, assign services depending on the plan that they are buying, and then they don't have to manage servers at all. So what happened when the customer said, "Well, I already start with my on-premise deployment of Link, but now my boss is asking, my manager is asking me to if we can have users on my on-premise deployment, but also probably I want to move some users to the cloud." I have seen this this scenario, for instance, at some universities where I have 100,000 users, and they want to put all these 100,000 users probably to the cloud. They are going to just to have instant messaging, presence, conference. They are not going to offer to these users PSTN connection, so they can achieve their requirements by having these users on Office 365. But also they want to connect that all those 100,000 users with the users that are going to stay on-prem. Probably some admin staff is going to stay on-prem, and could be that probably 1,000 or 2,000 employees are going to be on-prem. And then in the past, I remember we also have this kind of requirement before the Link 2013. And we said, well, we have to create two organizations. I mean, we have to deploy one domain. This should be, this is going to be like contoso.adminstaff.com, and this other one should be like contoso.alumni.com. So, and then we have to federate them. So that means we have to have two or different Link organizations. So we are not sharing the same domain, the SIP domain. So also we are not managing, or we are managing, but from different perspective. One is on-prem, another is in the cloud. So in order to merge these two configurations, now we call this scenario like hybrid configuration, and we can split actually the domain. We can share the domain between the users who are on-prem and the users who are on the cloud. So they are gonna use same at contoso.com for on-prem users and also for Office 365 users. And we are gonna see the same, you want to talk with the user online, it's seamless to them. They don't have to do anything. They just have to ping that user, he's gonna reply. They are using the same domain, and they are going to be transparent for your users if they are on the on-prem infrastructure or they are on Office 365 infrastructure. So by doing this, we are gonna have the hybrid scenario. So the only things you remember last year, only thing April, I think. We deprecate one functionality, which is a hybrid VoIP, which is not the same. In the past, we had the capability to have Link Online users with also leveraging the PSTN on the gateways, which are on-premise. We don't have that anymore, but we still can have users that are using just IAM and presence, are using conferences, and they can talk with the on-premise users also, chatting, having conference, and the users on-premise can have voice or enterprise voice features. So there are some cases when the customer wants to have this, to split some users on-prem, split other users on Office 365. And well, the mainly difference is having enterprise capability or not. We don't have enterprise voice capability on the Office 365. But this is the hybrid scenario. This is what we call it hybrid. Link hybrid. Well, This is what I explained. Some users are on-premise or online, same seed domain, and we are integrating. There is another scenario, a real good scenario on why your customer can ask you to have this. I have a customer who start by deploying or giving the users the service on online, and then they start to build some SharePoint applications on-prem, and then they say, well, how we can also have presence for the user who are on Office, or how we can, for instance, have an application, a SharePoint application on-premise and also get access to the UC API, and we don't have that in Office 365. But if we deploy UCWA on-prem, we have an infrastructure on-prem, we can leverage the API on-prem and get access to the all information that for the user who are also online. So that's another reason to have this hybrid scenario. Well, I already explained why it should be happening. Your customer are going to ask you to do this. They probably, like the university I told you, 100,000 users, and the hardware to deploy that amount of users could be a lot of servers to host all those users on-prem. And we can leverage, but we can leverage the Office 365 infrastructure to host all those users and then merge these two infrastructures. So the amount of hardware that we are going to need for on-prem is going to get down because of that, because we are using this infrastructure, and we are meeting the customer requirements. Okay, and could be existing on-prem infrastructure. They probably already have an on-prem infrastructure, or could be possible that we are going. They are talking about Link Online, and then they also can ask you to have a Link on-prem, and you are going to start a project from there. Okay, the deployment overview. How to deploy this topology, environment? We have requirements actually around what we can support, from where we can merge or we can set up this hybrid hybrid scenario. So, for instance, let's say that your customers is now is using Office OCS 2007 R2. So they told you, well, I'm planning to go to online to Office 365 and deploy also Link Online users. But I need to set up this scenario. I need to connect both infrastructure on-premise and the Office 365. But I'm using OCS 2007 R2. So what you have to do, well, at least you have to deploy one pool of Link Server 2013 and also the Edge. And then, of course, at some point, you are going to migrate that user, those users on OCS, to the pool which is on the pool Link Server 2013 pool, and then from there you are going to migrate the users or to move the user to Office 365. That's the reason we need it. We enabled this capability when we released Link 2013. We didn't have this capability before in OCS 2007 R2. And then the Edge, because we are going in some point we are going to federate the on-prem infrastructure, on-prem deployment with the Office 365 infrastructure. So that's one of the scenarios that you can face. The other one is your customer has Link 2010, and they want also to go and move some users to online to Office 365. So here we don't need at all a Link 2013 pool. We don't need an Edge, so you don't have to upgrade or migrate that customer to a Link 2013 infrastructure. But you need to deploy or at least install the Link Server 2013 admin tools. So also there is one good point there, which is that you have to apply the cumulative updates for February, for almost 1 year ago, from February 2013, to the Link 2010 infrastructure, so you can get these capabilities. So from there, you can move the users to Office 365 also, okay? And then the last one, they already have Link 2013 on-premise infrastructure, and from there, they want to move their users to Office 365. Okay, this is the supported way to do it, to support the supported way to achieve this configuration. Okay, and then yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, you have to do that. Okay, the deployment process overview. How from where you have to start? Well, let's say you have your customer and then he's asking you to do this, and you have one of these three scenarios, and they ask you to do this, to go and set up this configuration. So first thing that is that you have to have a Office 365 tenant, Link 2013 Office 365 tenant. And then you have to do some configurations around synchronize the users that you have for your on-prem Active Directory with your with the Office 365 tenant. This probably has done if Exchange project has been in place before. I mean, most of the companies or some of the companies already moved some of the users or all the users, their users, to Exchange Online. In order to do that, they did this configuration. They synchronized their on-prem Active Directory with Exchange, Office 365. Because they are able to provision some mailbox for the users, on-prem users. So probably they have done this, and they already have this infrastructure in place, and that synchronization is happening, okay? Next is the federation services. Why do you need the federation services? Single sign-on. Yeah, what is the experience? What could be the experience? For instance, for an enterprise, they need single sign-on. I mean, they don't want to be prompted again for a password each time they try to connect to another service, to Exchange, or then to a Link, and then to SharePoint. So the reason to deploy ADFS is that I need to make this easy for my users. So I just going to be challenged once for the username and passwords, and from there I don't need more. I don't need the username and password again each time I'm trying to get access to some more resources. So, yes. Yes. Not exactly. Not for Link. Yeah, you still need ADFS for Link. Yeah, I know that we can synchronize that password, yeah. And we have that password. But for Link, we still need the ADFS. Yes. Sorry, you don't need. No, if you don't want single sign-on, you mean that the customer doesn't want single sign-on? But what I said is that it's not going to work with Link. Probably, I think it worked with Exchange. I don't know. I cannot talk much about Exchange, but it doesn't work. Yes. Yeah, and I probably we are going into that direction, but still we need IDFS for Link. Okay. Well, as I told you also, if your customer already had a project in the past about migrate Exchange to Exchange Online, you already have these components in place, and they are working, okay? And then that's the reason those boxes are like blue. And then the link configuration starts. This is to enable the federation and then to set up the link hybrid. We have to run some commands there. Okay, this is just the overview, then move the users, okay? What we have to do, I told you the tenant, the plan, link E3 plan, should be E3 or E4 if you want to have this capability. I mean, if you review, you compare the table about the kind of plans that we have, we don't have the directory synchronization for plans like E1 or small business and all that stuff because we think that they don't need it. They don't have this kind of requirement. But from link plan E3 or for link plan 3 or E3, we can have this directory synchronization. So another thing is that you have to verify your domain. Do you remember I told you with this configuration, you are going to be able to share the same domain between your on-prem infrastructure and your Office 365 infrastructure. This probably has already done because this is a requirement also for Exchange. So, but just in case you have to do it, if you are the link consultant or who are deploying this, or probably you have one person in charge of Exchange and another person in charge of link, just ask him if he already did this domain verification. So all of these are on the admin. Just change, yeah. Just to show you where at the tenant console you have you have your domain. I don't have my domain there, but from there you can verify your domain. You have to add the domain and follow all this process. This specifically is the what I'm talking about. You have to specify your domain there, and you have to complete that verification. Okay, then you have to go and set up the DirSync, the directory synchronization. This is the tool that we use also for Exchange. It's the same tool. Some of the stuff there is that you have to add your UPN user principal name, additional user principal name to your Active Directory, so you can match your SIP domain on-prem with the domain that you are using on Office 365. And then activate this Active Directory synchronization. That what is going to happen is it's going to take all the users from your objects, actually, from on-prem infrastructure, from on-prem Active Directory, and it's going to populate all this information into your tenant. So you are going to be able to see all the users that you have. So once if you are creating one user on your local Active Directory, it's going to be replicated also to your tenant. So you are going to be able to activate later some functionalities or some services like mailboxes or like in this case link services, link online. And also you have to install some tools over there to do that that configuration. I mean the Active Directory synchronization tool. So let me show you just my so So once to do this, you are gonna need some servers or Active Directory synchronization server to run this process each time you want to synchronize your directory automatically. It actually is going to happen automatically frequently, and it's going to update your tenant on this all this information about your users. And for this, there are some times where, for instance, I told you one of the customer who are 100,000 users, sometimes that's, I mean, 100,000 is a lot of objects. So we have a limitation here, it's 50,000, and then we recently increased that to 300,000. If you need to change that limit, you have to create a support ticket to ask the people from Office 65 to extend that number. It's not just about users, it's about objects in general. I mean users, groups, contacts, all the objects that you are synchronizing from on-premise to online. If you are above that number, you have to create that ticket with the with Office 65 support in order to increase the number of objects that you can synchronize. Okay, we recently changed that to 300,000. So I think that, well, I hope that most of the customers are below that. Some of them probably are above that. If you are one of those cases, yeah, you have to do it. You have to do it. Well, this is just for ADFS. If you already have it, just I'm not the guy from ADFS, but you need the ADFS proxy, which is in the DMZ, the ADFS farm also to manage all those authentications for your on-premise infrastructure. And then there are some questions here for capacity planning. So there is information about how many ADFS servers you need for, if, for instance, for 60,000 or for 100,000 company. I remember this more like 15,000. Each server can manage like 15,000 users or something like that. So you are gonna need like 6 or 7 servers for a company like 100,000 users. And also for the ADFS proxies, we have that information also. But then you have to build this infrastructure and before you can start to deploy Link online. Mainly if you are going to move a lot of users to on-prem infrastructure, to online infrastructure. Okay, so there is one requirement. That happened when I cannot see what is on your screen. Thank you. Yeah, now it's from where I have. Okay, I was talking about this, about ADFS. And I was talking about the capacity planning for the ADFS servers and the ADFS proxy. One requirement here is also a certificate, because this infrastructure is gonna talk with the Office 65 in order to get the to get users authenticated. Another interesting thing here is that if you already have this Link on-premise infrastructure, and your users are working on there, and you already have your DNS record for sign-in, and you already have your Edge, and you have your SRB record for Federation, do you have to change it at some point? Yeah, let's see, you already have the on-premise, Link on-premise infrastructure. Your users are signing into the in Link. You have your DNS records pointing to the, on-premise pool. And also you have your Federation record outside, for your Edge, pointing to your on-prem Edge. But the question is if you have to change this at some point. No, you don't. You don't have to change it. The users, even they are going to be hosted online, they still gonna hit the pool And then from there, the pool is going, or director, whatever, is going to redirect that connection to another pool, which is now the online pool. And then from there, I'm going to request the authentication for the user. Okay? And the same for the federation that you are going to set up with partners. You are not going to set up federations with the edge, the online edge. You are still going to set up federation for your on-prem edge servers. That is not going to happen at all. That's, you have to keep it, the SRB records at, pointing to the edge servers, your on-prem edge servers. Okay? Just to review it again, OCS 2007 is not supported. So it's your customer asks you to set up this configuration with Office Communication Server 2007. You have first to move and migrate to a newest version, the supported ones. I mean, OCS 2007 R2, and then from there move to OCS to a Link 2013. This is the second scenario, okay? And then the third scenario is Link Server 2010, and the last is Link Server 2013. Then we're already done with the configuration about ADFS, about DIR sync. I can see my on-prem users on my tenant. I can do the authentication. And as I told you, probably they are using Outlook. They are using email and their mailbox are on Exchange Online now. So all this stuff are working right now. So what we have to do in order to start to migrate or to move these users for the on-prem, Link on-prem infrastructure to Link Online. What we have to do first is that we have to enable, a kind of federation, because you say, well, federation is between two companies, right? Using different domains. That's what, SIP domains. So that's usually what we have. But in this case, we are gonna use the same SIP domain. But even that, we are going to federate my on-prem edge with the Office 365 Edge. So we have to set up one federation between them, okay? That's the first thing that we have to do. Some important things here is that we are going to use the Link Admin Console to achieve this. And if you already have configured your Edge server as an open federation, you have to use open federation also on the online side. If you are not using Open Federation, you have to reflect the same thing, the same configuration on the online side, okay? And other important thing is that the list of allowed or blocked domains must match. So if you already have a list of allowed or blocked domains on your on-prem Edge servers, you have to reflect the same list on the Office 365 side, okay? Should be the same, okay? And then, well, you are going to enable that federation. Okay, this how we enable the federation. We have to run this command to enable federation on our Edge on-prem Edge server, okay? And then we have to run also this hosting, to set this hosting provider on your on-prem servers, pointing to the Office 365 as a new federation partner.
Is that command work on Link 2010 as well?
Link 2010, yes. But remember that I said that you have to install the Link 2013 admin? Yes, but also you have to run it from the Link 2013 admin tool, yeah, or actually PowerShell. And then in order to split the domain, to tell the people from the Office 365 that you are gonna use the same domain for on-prem than for Office 365, you have to create or require a support request for Office 365, and they are gonna run some commands. So you will be able to share to share the same domain between these two infrastructures, the on-prem and the Office 365. Okay, and then finally, do you have to create again users or you already have the users and you have to enable link for them? Do you have to create again the users on the tenant? No, they're already there. Yeah, what we have to do? You remember for on-prem, you create the Active Directory users. Once you have created the Active Directory users, you go to the admin tool, a link at a control panel, and then from there you enable link services for that user. Okay? So you have to do the same on your admin on the your admin center. You have to go and look into the list of the users that you already have there, and then assign the license to that user. Okay? So by doing that, you are telling the tenant that user is going to have that services. Okay? You are not enabling that service for them. You are not enabling link so far, because your user is on-prem right now. He has a link services already enabled, but an on-prem infrastructure. What I'm doing is just taking the user, assign the license to use link online, and then from there I'm gonna move those just the users. If I have two users, one empty, just waiting to move all the content, I mean the contact stuff and all that stuff into the users which is online, okay? So that's the reason you can see. I already know that is going to happen. That's the reason I was doing like this from at the beginning. But well, you enable or you assign the license to that user. So you are telling the system that this user is going to have link services, okay? But now it's like empty. It doesn't have anything. It's not activated. But I also have the same user on-prem infrastructure, which also has link services. He's running. His account is on the one of the front-end, one of the pools, on-prem pools. He already have contacts. He already have all those information about groups. So he has already his configuration inside. Once I do this, I want to run some PowerShell commands to move the user to Office 365, okay? So one of the things that I have to take care, have to go back to my... Okay? I have to look for this. Can you see that that URL on the screen? That's the admin, migration services URL. So I had to copy that because I'm going to use it once I run the PowerShell command. Okay, and okay, so. I already locate that, so I have to go to my tenant and check that I have this URL and it's the right one, okay? Because I'm gonna use it later. So this is the way I'm gonna move those users to the online tenant. So you remember, I already have the user, Active Directory user, replicated. I assigned the license; it's like empty, waiting for his configuration. And then I also have the on-prem users with link activated, working with contacts, with groups, with all those configuration. And then by running this command, I'm gonna move all those, the users to the online. So next time he's trying to sign in, he's going to hit the on-prem pool. And the on-prem pool is going to say, well, I'm not hosting you. I don't have your information. Your account is not like here. But it's going to redirect that request to the online pool. And then from there, the online pool is going to say, well, who is in charge of authenticating you? So he said, well, I have the DIDFS server, which is in contact with my local Active Directory. Ask him. So once he gets authenticated, he's going to connect to link online pool. And from there, he's going to get all his information. I mean, all the contact information, all the group information, all the information that he already had when he was on premise. Okay, that's what is happening here. And this is the URL that I'm gonna need. I have to identify before I run the command. Okay, so now I'm happy. I already migrate one user, the first users, and then what the users have or what the users keeps during the migration. He keeps the contact list, groups, ACLs, all that information is still there. It's not gonna change for the user. So the user is gonna see the same stuff on his account, okay? I'm gonna migrate some stuff about user level call routing capabilities, but it's not useful anymore, okay? And what I'm not going to get, I'm not going to migrate. If a user already have, already have some link online conference, and he already scheduled recording meetings, or probably a meeting for the next week, or a year, a full year, and it's a recording meeting, we are going to lose the meeting content. That is not going to be updated. He's going to lose that content. But the good thing is that 4 weeks ago, we finally have available the tool to go into the meetings, review the meetings, and update that information for the users. So for those who hasn't seen the tool, so it's not more a kind of a pain. The pain is that you have to do it. You have to teach your user how to do it, because it's not like an admin tool that is going to look for the whole your users and is going to fix everyone at just one time. They have to do it. Now you can see my desktop or this. Yes. Okay. So this is the link meeting update tool. We promised that, and now we have it. So it's not more a pain. Cannot see that. It's not more a kind of a pain. This issue. We couldn't migrate the meeting content, but now you can run this tool. It's going to update everything. Well, it's going to locate the updated. It's going to locate the meetings that hasn't been updated, and then it's going to change it. Okay, and so from there you are fixing everything. So I just run. This is the log for one of the meetings that I have in my environment. So yeah, just let me show you. This is the process. It found. It said that it found one meeting that hasn't been updated, and it locates the meeting. It shows you the meeting. It's gonna give you the subject. The subject for the meeting is going to give you more details about is it a recurrent meeting or is it a one-time meeting and all those stuff. It's going to tell you what he's going to change, and then you only have to click the meeting and then set update, and he's going to take care of update all that information on the meeting content. So from there you are all set or you are done. So you have from the user's perspective, you have his account with his contact list, with the groups, with the ACLs, with everything, and also their meetings are working, okay? And sorry? Yeah, it is, yeah. Actually, the tool doesn't say that it's just to fix this scenario. It doesn't say that it's just to fix this issue. It said that it's to update your meetings, to fix your meetings. It doesn't say. It says something like, when you migrate from server to server or something like that. It's not talking about Link Online, but it fixed it. Yeah, you can use this tool also. That's a good question. I haven't had a chance to look into it, so I don't know. Yes. Oh, okay. Link Client. What happened? Do you remember the scenario when we have OCS 2007 R2? So, and then we have to install one Link 2013 pool and also the Edge. Link 2013 Edge. So at that point, you have a Link OCS a communicator client connected to the user, connected to the servers, okay? But what if you move the user? You have to have a plan to also update the client, because the client that has to connect at the end to the Office 365 infrastructure must be Link 2013. So if you are planning to migrate a user, you have to plan the server migration and also the client migration at the same time. Okay, so at the end, he has been migrated to online, and his client has been migrated also. Well, some of the features that we have for Link Online, Link On-Prem, XMPP, we don't have XMPP, we don't have a persistent chat, we don't have even Federation with Yahoo and AOL, and just Skype. Slides. Yeah, that's my destiny. I already knew. Now it's. Yeah, I can't connect. Yes. Yeah, well, I was talking about this. And then this, which is what we don't have here, is the meeting site for online. That's the difference. And also the PSTN dial-in for meetings. You have to go with some of the partners. And then this is for voice. You remember I told you at the beginning, we used to have the hybrid voice. We deprecated that functionality 1 year ago, more or less. And then because of that, we don't have any voice features on online users. That was until this week that we announced that we are going to add again some business voice functionality into the Link Online. So this is like into the middle. That's in between. It is true and it's not right now. In the future. Yeah, what?
Are you adding
peer-to-peer? Voice peer-to-peer? Yeah, we have voice to peer. I mean, I'm talking about the enterprise voice functionalities. Yeah. Yeah, here. No. The only thing that I know is what you saw in the keynote. It's the same. I don't have details. Yeah. But for sure, we are going to start with US. And then? Okay, there are some other scenarios that also I have from customers. What happened with Exchange? What happened with the UM? If I already move users, Link Exchange users to the cloud, Exchange. Okay, Mailbox user is on Exchange Online. So Exchange UM is also there, okay? So if I'm going to keep my on-prem users with Enterprise Voice and UM capabilities or UM voicemails or UM functionality, my UM is online, okay? No, that depends if you want to enable voicemail for all your on-prem users. Yes. But you can have user who has exchange UM enabled or not on your online infrastructure. Or what? Yes? Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, because imagine a situation if you are migrating, if you are in the process of migrating users and your users already have the UM, the users who are still on the on-prem has to have the services. And also the users that you have migrated to the online has to have the UM service also. So you can have both. Well, at the end, if you finish your migration, I think there is no reason to keep one UM server just for one user or, I don't know, which is on-prem. You can have all the users online, UM online. I am on my session, yeah. Okay, okay, the whole journey to the migration, to link hybrid migration. And we always talk about just one directory synchronization. This thing is just synchronizing one on-premise forest or domain with a tenant. What happens if your customer has like many forests, two, three forests? This thing is not going to work for that scenario. And the other scenario is, what if you have like a resource forest domain? So you have Exchange there, you have a Link there, and also you have like 1 or 20 or 10 account forests. So that seems a little bit more complicated. This is not just an overview about what's happened in this situation. The whole process is more or less the same. The issue here is how to get all those users synchronized with one tenant. That's the challenge, okay? So this is the situation. This thing can only synchronize one AD forest. So for this scenario, we need from identity manager so we can synchronize to many domains, many forests to just one tenant, okay? There is one FIM synchronization services, so we can, FIM is gonna take care of synchronizing, in this case, two domains, and then from there to Office 65 tenant. Recently we have actually the Windows Azure Active Directory connector for FIM, so we can achieve this, but we will need FIM, and we are not going to use Active Directory synchronization anymore. If you have that scenario, you have to think on FIM. Okay, and that takes me to the end of my session. We'll take more questions. I already took questions. And I have some, well, let me just finish. Today is the attendee party. Don't forget today, hands-on labs. And then don't forget to go to the, that's your evaluations.